All right, we want to look at the message tonight. We turn to Acts chapter number 1. We're beginning reading verse number 6 beginning. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner, have you seen him go into heaven. We are doing some studies this week, not in any series, or just different studies as the Lord directs our mind to them. Tonight I want to talk to you on the second coming of the Lord. The second coming. It's good for us. Take the Word of God and study on different subjects to cultivate and improve your heart and your mind and those things pertaining unto the Lord. Now we don't know when Jesus will come again, but we do know he's coming. And if we're to accomplish anything, amen, if we're accomplishing anything for the Lord, we need to be busy as never before working to build up the kingdom of God. We know there's a devil who's persistent in trying to stop the work of God any way he possibly can. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan has many devices to deceive us with. There are many spirits out there to slow the progress of the church, and eschew obedience to God's word that we can overcome every one of them. There are critical spirits, spirits of malice, hatred, and jealousy, and also judgmental spirits. These spirits are not alone in the world, but they hang around churches also. Like Paul said, we're not ignorant to these devices of Satan. Now let's go back to Acts, the first chapter, and verse 9 again, and says we want to read again. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you seen him go into heaven. Now there's two things in verse 11. One is this, Jesus is gone to heaven. And secondly, he's going to come again in like manner. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse number 16 says this, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Nowhere does it ever say that Jesus was going to touch Mother Earth when he returns. Well, somebody might say, what about the prophecy found in Zechariah, the 14th chapter and 4th verse, where it says in his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. This scripture, this prophecy in Zechariah, is referring to the first advent of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, again with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, let's get some more scriptures. I know of those who teach he's coming twice, maybe even a total of three times. And the reason behind that is to fit into their different theories of rapture and tribulation. But let's let the Word of God speak. What does the Word of God say about this? 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have the Apostle Paul, amen, speaking. But now let's hear from John. In 1 John the 2nd chapter, verse number 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Amen. That was John. Now let's hear from Peter. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Then we'll just pick up on Paul again. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ at his coming. There is one future coming of Jesus Christ, not two nor three, but one. Hebrews 9:28 says this, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Here the scripture says Christ will appear the second time, not to deal with sin, but to deal with sinners. Christ dealt with sin in his first advent. Amen. Here we see it called the coming, or his coming. Well, what would be the manner of his coming? Acts 1:9 again. And when he had spoken these things, what he beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye there gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you seen him go into heaven. Will it be secret? Will it be a secret coming? Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Every eye shall see him, tells us there's nothing secret about his coming. When he comes, he'll bring saints with him. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable and holiest before God, even the Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Let's look again at a previous scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody might ask, will the second coming be a quiet thing? Well, I just read 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Christ will come unexpectedly. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse number 36, we read this. But of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's look at another scripture. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 1. But at the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall cometh as a thief in the night. So when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. You're all of the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. The children of God are children of light. They're not in darkness as we look for Jesus Christ to come at any hour. And he'll come at a time of peace and safety. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1. But at the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. We might not know the exact time that Jesus is coming, but we can know the season. Turn with me to Luke 17 and 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. Both days of Noah and Lot had something in common, just like it does with our day. Now, what they were involved in is not sinful within itself, but they were overindulged in it. They were so involved in it that they failed to realize they were getting close to the judgment. Luke 21 verse 34 says this, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. What does it mean to be overcharged? The word simply means overburdened. It means to fill, and it also means full. Overly burdened. We need to be careful as saints of God. We don't get caught up in everyday living so that today catches us off guard. God gives us plenty of warnings. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 12, it says this, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Here that word diligent means to endeavor, to labor, and to make effort. Proverbs the 13th chapter, verse number 4, the Old Testament scripture says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Christ warns the church over and over to be ready, but it's up to you and I to heed the warnings. Matthew 24:44 says, therefore be ye also ready, for such as an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. It's going to take effort to be ready. It's going to take effort, I say, church, to be ready, but God will help us to do so. Now there's 6 things that's going to take place, excuse me, when Jesus comes again. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Christ won't be dealing with sin when he comes, but rather he's going to be dealing with the sinner. And when he comes, he'll be taking vengeance. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7, listen to what Paul writes. And you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Thirdly, when he comes, there will be a universal resurrection, or called a general resurrection. John the 5th chapter, verse number 28 says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Excuse me. Fourth, there'll be a consummation or consuming of the earth and the works therein. Turn with me to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse number 10, beginning. But today the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons are to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking forward and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. When Jesus comes, it'll be the final judgment. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that done, whether it be good or bad. When Jesus comes again, there's going to be rewards, a punishment, and good. Turn with me to the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. We'll begin with verse number 13. Let's hear the conclusion or the ending of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Well, somebody might say, what will we look like at the resurrection? I've been asked that question, so let's read. I'm going to read plenty of scriptures that pretty well explain it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to break in at verse number 35. And listen to what the apostle says. But some say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of other grain. But God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Paul is saying, just like when the corn or any grain, when it is sown, it sure doesn't look the same when it comes to the time of harvest. It's changed like the corn that's planted, which comes up on a stalk with ear and kernels. When we die, we are sown or buried in weakness, in corruption, but we're raised in power. The Bible says it's sown a natural body, but is raised a spiritual body. It says there are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. Celestial bodies means the sun, the moon, or the stars. Terrestrial means earthly or human. They differ, but they're all still bodies. The body goes into the grave will not come out the same. It'll be changed into a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption. Excuse me, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. We know that we're all going to be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, 38, but God giveth it a body, and it pleased him, and every seed his own body. And as we begin to close tonight in our teaching, let me speak to you for just a little bit before we close. 2 Peter 3 and 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Peter asked the question, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness? We shouldn't be as the scoffers and the profane sinners who put this final day away from them, but as men who have their lights burning, waiting for the Lord's coming, being continually watching, praying, hearing, reading, living soberly, righteously, and godly, guarding against intemperance and worldly mindedness and every worldly and hurtful lust. We're not like the scoffers or ones who don't want to think about it, but we look for it to happen anytime and want to do our best to be ready.